Last week, we had thirst and water and someone's daughter named Jolene. This week, it's blindness and light and someone's son named Columbo. He was a TV detective from the 70s. He appeared unkempt, bumbling, and unawares. However, he proves to be hyper-aware, intelligent, and purposeful. He saw things crooks thought he'd miss and other cops never did see. We learn from the Columbo in the text that light is found in the strangest places. You have to read all of John 9. Only recently a pericope systems used the whole chapter. Read it. You'll find that the fact that he is someone's son is very prominent. His parents are consulted by the Pharisees as to their growing son being blind from birth, and they dither. They're afraid if they testify to Jesus having done this miracle, they'll be put out of the synagogue. The disciples, on the other hand, are decisive about the man's blindness from birth, asking, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Blind eyes are only punishment for somebody's sin, so his disciples think. Well, can't blindness be a good thing? Blinders are put on a horse so it can only see in front, keeping it on the straight and narrow path and from being spooked and so lunging sharply. Don't look down. Well, that's very good advice when on a narrow edge of something tall. And if you're wise, when somebody who knows you tells you don't look at something like an accident, you'll heed their advice and be glad not to see. Something stay burned in your mind's eye forever. Sometimes turning a blind eye is good. That's what Solomon says. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. Now, located as we are across from the Texas School for the Blind, let me be clear. Blindness is a burden. It's a cross. It's a trial. But is there no light here at all? There's got to be. Listen to what Isaiah prophesied in the Old Testament reading about Jesus. "Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant? And deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord?" Jesus is so blind and so deaf that he says in John, "I do not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." And he sees only what the Father does. In John 5, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing." Not only does the Lord use blindness, there is a kind of light that produces shadows and darkness, blindness in another place. LED lights do that in particular. They light a limited area brightly, and outside that, darkness. I've been in darkness so deep that you literally couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It's unnerving because you know it's there. You can sense it, but you cannot see it, even a little. The plague of darkness was the ninth plague. Read Exodus 10. "The Lord sent a darkness which may be felt," it said. Part of sensory deprivation chambers is taken away, not just all sounds, not just all touch, taste, and smell, but sight. Limited bright light produces deep darkness that disorients you. The world casts bright light, but limited. Nobody seems to take my point about flying while streetlights changed over time. In the 70s, it was mercury vapor lights. In the 90s and the aughts, it was sodium, and now it's LEDs. There is a certain warmth to the landscape with mercury vapor's blue-green light. And even though sodium is a jaundiced yellow, it gave off a dusky hue. In both cases, light was diffused over the landscape. Now when you're looking down out of a plane, LEDs make bright as day only right here. At the edge of a town's LEDs, even single farms, darkness. This is how the world's light shines. It lights up the things of its own and only limited light on the things of God. Natural knowledge can tell you there is a God, he's eternal, he's all-powerful, and he's not like you at all. But it knows nothing of the saving things of God, that the man Jesus is God the Son, that his flesh is life-giving, that there is salvation only in his name, that God in Christ wants to save you. The world's LEDs can't light up these things. The world's LEDs cast the important things of God into the outer darkness. You recognize that phrase, outer darkness. You find it three times in Matthew on the lips of Jesus. But the subject of the kingdom who reject Jesus will be thrown outside into the outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus says the king told the attendants to tie him, the man who refused the Lord's wedding garments, hand and feet, and throw him outside into the outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Finally, Jesus says to the servant who didn't use his talents, and throw that worthless servant outside into the outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you get it? We mistake the darkness the world's LEDs lights throw on the things of God. We mistake that for the true outer darkness, which is really everything outside of God's gracious presence. Men fear being outside the world's light. Those who fear God fear the outer darkness that he warns of. The healed blind man, our Columbo, is being threatened with being pitched into the darkness outside of the synagogue if he doesn't deny the true light of the world. In this section of John, Jesus has been in the temple since John 7:14. In chapter 8, he tells the Pharisees that he's the light of the world. You know what that means? Anything, anyone outside of Jesus is in darkness. What Jesus says and does is not just life-giving, but light-giving. He sheds light on what is sin and what is not. Sinners, myself included, are always confusing what is and isn't sin, repenting of what is not and holding on to what is. He exposes the only way out from under sin, death, and the devil, the only way out of the darkness of the world and your own fallen flesh. You know, they say that drunk people swimming in Lake Travis frequently drown because they dive in, lose their orientation, and swim deeper into darkness rather than up to the light. We habitually go deeper into the darkness. On our own, we can only do that. Jesus bids, "Come unto me, I'm your light and life." He alone can reveal what God the Father did with your sin and sinfulness. He put them on Jesus' innocent back. Do you see them right there? And Jesus carried them, that weight, that burden, during a lifetime of holy living and through an eternity of hell. The Pharisees, the Old Testament church leaders, and the Old Testament church rejected Jesus, thinking, well, they saw just fine without him. Indeed, on the cross, everyone, even his beloved disciple John, his mother, Nicodemus, and Joseph of Arimathea, thought he was gone forever in the darkness of death. The only one who still saw a glimmer of life was that centurion, who when he saw how Jesus died, the scripture said, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." For the rest, Jesus had no more light to shine on the law, their sins, life, death, the world without end. They were in effect blinded by the light going out. But Jesus is no Tinkerbell. His being the light of the world does not depend on us believing that he is. Oh, would that we be as that 1976 hit song saying, "Blinded by the light," as Paul says. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. See how Paul moves from God's created light into the uncreated light of the glory of God radiating from Jesus. Paul was so blinded by that light in Acts 9 that they had to lead him by hand into Damascus. He was Jesus-like, and that he could only see what God showed him. Like Jesus, the only obedient son of the Father, Paul was blinder than any man. Like Jesus, Paul could only go by what God said was there. At the end of our text, Jesus says, only the blind really see. Be that blind. Only see what Jesus says is there. By the light of the law, Jesus says, nothing is in you or in this world but sin, death, and the devil. The gospel shines the good news that the God-man overcame these unholy three by fulfilling and then by paying in full the law's requirements. In the gospel, he declares to us blind people, God can see no sin of yours. He sees no death in your future. And the devil is left to roar like a toothless, decrepit lion. He points you to your baptism and says, that's not just simple water only, that's forgiveness of sins. He points you to the absolution and says, I see your sins being forgiven by these words before God in heaven as if I did that myself. And he sees what no man on his own can, no technology can detect, what no one on their own could ever believe. He sees you depart from this altar with his body and blood that gives you life now and salvation forever. Read all of John 9. Our bumbling Columbo finds the truth of what is sin and what is light. These two concepts that are prominent, in this text. The Greek word for sin is found four times here, but nowhere else in the Gospel of John. From the opening verses of John 9, Jesus tells the truth about both light and sins. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus has dealt with your sins according to God's will. Now in his light, be like the physically blind, but spiritually. Coming out of a shut-in's house many years ago now, that was over by the blind school, I found a man with a cane tapping in her driveway about to pass into her fenced yard. I asked if he needed help. He said he was lost and just needed to find the blind school. I asked, do you know which direction the sun is? Instantly, I mean instantly, he whirled around to face the winter sun. I told him on which side to keep the sun in order to get back. He said thanks and was off without hesitation. See, as long as he had the sun's light, he was good. This is true for us and the sun. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.